Please stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's IBM iSeries Nation Getting Started with iSeries Access for Web conference call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, for opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the conference over to your host, Kevin Larson. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Hi again, everybody. Thank you for joining this week. My name is Kevin Larson. I'm the Business Development Manager for WebSphere on iSeries. And this is number three in a series of chats designed to help you quickly and easily get started with WebSphere on your IBM eServer iSeries platform. This week, Linda Hirsch from our iSeries Access for Web development team will show you how to quickly and easily get started with iSeries Access for Web, how to install and deploy it, and how to use its basic functions. This is chat number three in a series of seven chats that are going to be held weekly on a variety of WebSphere for iSeries products. We very much appreciate your attendance. We also appreciate your feedback. If you've got feedback, if you've attended these chat sessions and would like to share beyond the feedback we provide in the lecture here, I'd very much appreciate to hear what you have to say. So please feel free to drop me a note at Kevlars, that's Kevlars, at us.ibm.com. And again, just to let you know, we are archiving all of these chats so that you can share them with your customers or you can review them yourself in the future. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Linda.
Great. Thanks, Kevin. Okay, folks, iSeries Access for Web. I work in the iSeries Access Development Organization in Rochester, Minnesota. Happy to be here with you today to talk about iSeries Access for Web and get what do you need to get started with it, how to configure it with WAS Express version 5.1 is what we're going to concentrate on today. On the cover of this presentation, I have my email address, so I want you to feel free to contact me if you have follow-up questions. We're going to save about 15 minutes for questions and answers at the end, and if you don't have time to get your question answered or you have follow-up questions later, please contact me. You'll notice out on the website where you've gotten this presentation, I have another handout. It's called a lab handout. And so I'm going to refer to this lab exercise, this separate handout, a few times in this presentation today. So that's for you to download the lab handout and try configuring a WebSphere application server. I have step-by-step instructions there. You'll get the HTTP server up and running. You'll get iSeries Access for Web up and running. So contact me if you have any questions about that lab also. So on chart number two, we have the agenda. What is iSeries Access for Web? Why should you use it? How do you get it? What are the software requirements? And then we'll look at the steps for installing and configuring with WAS Express version 5.1. And we'll talk a little bit about, depending on how much time we have, we'll cover some of the functions that we have in this product. So on page three, what is iSeries Access for Web? It is browser-based access to iSeries functions. We have a 5250 emulator that comes with this product. We also have browser-based access to database-type functions, IFS, printers, output queues, jobs. You can run batch commands. So we have everything is running on the server in servlets. There's absolutely no client code and no client administration. So we've provided from the browser. Everything looks the same from all browser desktops. And in our iSeries Access tradition, where we give you the important functions that your users might want to access on the iSeries, we give you an emulator for the end users to run applications. On page four, why use it? Again, no client administration. You drop in a new Windows XP PC in your network, and you have to worry about which version of iSeries Access or Windows to install and which service pack level. Well, here you set it up once on your server, and you're ready to go, and you do all of your administration on the server. maybe you have users that are on the road and they need remote access to the server and they don't have a PC set up with what they need, they can still get into the system from any browser with this type of a function. So even if they're, whether you're using on the internet or intranet, this iSeries Access for Web might be for you. So on page 5, why use it? This is just a bit about the firewall considerations. When you're using iSeries Access for Windows, you may be aware of this already. If you have users accessing the server on the internet, and if they want to use these functions listed here in this left column, you have to open ports, the ports in your firewall that we have specified here. If you didn't know this information exists, I have the information APAR number for you down there in the right corner of the page. So the point here is that iSeries Access for Web, you only have to open one port. There's one opening running on the server because the whole function runs on the server. Everything flows through a single port. Port 80 is the default if you're running just HTTP, or you can specify any port. You use HTTPS if you, an administrator, wants to configure the HTTP server to use secure sockets, then you can use port 443 as a default or specify any port. So minimal requirements, more secure, you're only opening one port through the firewall. On page 6, the idea here, fully integrated with the browser, as opposed to our iSeries Access for Windows product that most of you might be familiar with, or Client Access Express, where we're integrated with Windows and use the behavior of Windows. You right-click on something and you're going to get an action menu. Well, here we're integrated with the browser. We use the code page settings and the keyboard settings, SSL, font choices in the browser. So, fully integrated browser-type product. The next section, starting on page 7, how do you get it? On page 8, I have a couple of charts here. Page 8 talks about packaging. In the left column, V5R3 iSeries Access family, we have iSeries Access for Windows. Now the green, or the arrow there, shows iSeries Access for Web V5R3. I have these arrows indicating this is what we're talking about in today's presentation. That's why the green arrows are there. We have this product called, briefly, HATS Limited Edition, Host Access Transformation Services Limited Edition, and that is a product that is a browser-based emulator. You can check our website if you want more information about that, or send me an email. We have iSeries Access for Linux that's available to download on the web. We have a couple of functions available, a native Linux emulator that is available with iSeries Access for Linux to run from Linux desktops or the Linux partition on the iSeries, and it also has a data transfer component with it. So today we're talking about iSeries Access for Web. And on page 9, this packaging, again, it's the same kind of thing, talking about what types of functions in the description column. Product order number, in that third column, I'm trying to show you what you get when you order 5722XW1. Now, most of the systems, still 80 to 90% of our systems have the iSeries Access family on them, so most of your systems have them already. And so you get to use iSeries Access for Web with the purchase of iSeries Access family. So that final column shows which functions in the family require our iSeries Access family licenses. You'll notice in the Windows client where I talk about iSeries Access for Windows, it requires the XW1 license for the 5250 emulator and data transfer like we've required for years. And then in the last row, it shows how iSeries Navigator and some of those other functions do not require the XW1 license. But today we're talking about iSeries Access for Web, and it requires the family licenses. And then the email address on the bottom is our technical website or whatever. So I show the web address where we have this particular packaging information, and there's just a wealth of information out there on the website, too. Now if we go to the next chart on page 10, software requirements. I have two charts here that show what software is required to use this. This is specifically because this example is iSeries Access for Web V5R3 with WAS Express version 5.1. Has a list of software required. The third entry down has that AFP compatibility fonts. It's highlighted because you might not be aware that it's needed. It's not always installed on the iSeries, but it's needed for working with PDF output in our printer support. We'll show you a little bit about what the PDF support is later on in this presentation. But so we have a list. We have the, if you're using SSL, you know, we have a couple of ones, products that you'll need there. But the point here is, if you look at the last column, all of those come no charge. So they either come with the operating system orders, or you can order them at no charge when you order your iSeries software. So those are required. And then we go to the next page on page 11. iSeries Access Family is a charged product. Again, we have user-based licenses or processor-based like we have for a long time. iSeries Access for Web is part of iSeries Access Family. It's not a separate charge. You just buy your family licenses. The InfoPrint Server is optional. It's a charged product. It enables the best PDF support in our product, and some of our new D5R3 PDF functions require InfoPrint Server. So you might be familiar with InfoPrint Server already, having the capability of converting output to PDF, emailing PDF files, and that type of thing. A lot of function available there. And then the last row I have, that WAS Express version 5.1, no charge with V5R3. And a note at the bottom about refer to the documentation about whether you might need options loaded with those products or whatever. We support more web application servers. I'll show you those in a little while. But I just wanted to put for today which ones we're using in our example. So all these products for whatever web application server you would use, all the software requirements in these charts are the same. But you might choose a different web application server in the last entry. On page 12, just briefly, these are the browsers that we officially support that we have tested. Other browsers we would imagine would work also, but this is the list of what we have tested. Okay, so we talked about what is it, how do you get it, and some of the software requirements for iSeries Access for Web. Now this next section starting on page 13 has the installation configuration steps. So on page 14, we're going to talk about each one of these six steps here. And the first step is choosing your web application server environment. This example, again, we're using WAS Express version 5.1. Now, in the lab handout, if you download that lab handout and try that setup on your system, the lab exercises take you through steps 4, 5, and 6. And then I have the information about installing iSeries Access for Web, the software requirements, and how, where to find information about the PTFs. Some of the information in those top steps is in an appendix. So you've got it all there in the lab handout, but the exercises actually start with step 4. So let's talk a little bit about choosing your web application server environment in step 1. You might be familiar with this already. In the other Getting Started chats, you would find you've learned a little bit about web application servers. You have a browser. We call them tiers in this chart 15, an HTTP server you set up with a web application server. And then you have a host application, a web application running on the server. So page 16, just a little bit of information about each of those. The HTTP server is listening for web requests on a specific port that you've configured. Routes web requests between the end user browser and the web application server. You know, on our web app server we're using, WAS 5.1 provides the Java virtual machine, the environment that we need. In this web application example, iSeries Access for Web, deployed and installed within a web application server. So if you go to page 17, here's a list of the web application servers that V5R3 iSeries Access for Web supports. The Portal Express, those top two, the WebSphere Portal Express, require V5R3. And the other web app servers, you can use V5R2 or V5R3 iSeries Access for Web. We have the green arrow again. We're talking today in the lab example also has the WAS Express version 5.1. And so several options here, and has notes there about some minimum requirements. You know, the Web Application Server Express 5.0 or 5.1, there are a couple of no-charge options, no charge with V5R3. They're easier to configure than the other WebSphere Application Server options, so it's a good way to get started. on chart 18. Just wanted to give you some information. We generally get questions about how much performance or how much load that iSeries Access for Web will be on the server. But the product by itself, iSeries Access for Web, an application like it, it's just serving HTML pages primarily. So by itself, it's not requiring a lot more of the server. But the web application server, if you're getting poor response time, you might need fine-tuning. So this chart just shows a couple of resources for you. The second section there talks about the, and it provides a link for the workload estimator. So take a look at that if you need to. Might give you some response time estimates and CPU and memory requirements based on your SIS servers and based on the type of web applications you might use. And in the third section, this WAS buying and selling guide, chapter 3, has a lot of good tips for doing performance tuning with WAS. I refer a lot of customers to this buying and selling guide. Not only the performance tips are great, they keep updating the buying and selling guide to provide new tips for customers as we go. This guide also has a lot of good information on positioning and comparing the different web products that IBM is providing. If you want to take a look at some of the things like web facing, HATS is another application, web enabling application tool, host on demand. You want to see what some of these browser solutions and what some of the differences are. We have a lot of good information comparisons in that buying and selling guide. So now I'm on page 19, step 2, install iSeries Access for Web on your server. So page 20, just a couple of notes about that. You might already have it restored on your system if you're restoring all of your license programs. Restore it with a restore license program from your iSeries Media. It's part of the locked products. And just a couple of notes there. It creates the needed libraries, objects, directories on the server when you do the restore license program. It doesn't do anything on the right here. We talk about it doesn't do anything with your current HTTP server configurations or WAS configurations or anything. It just installs the need parts on the server. Now on page 21, step 3, verify and load any additional PTFs that you might need. And we suggest that you do it for your WebSphere application server. Now on page 21, I've listed there the ASF Tomcat server. That's if you're using that, the Tomcat server as a web application server. But you'll need PTFs for WebSphere, the HTTP server. It's going to require a certain level of QM PTF on your OS 400. And check your service pack or PTFs for iSeries Access for Web. So on page 22, the URL at the top of the page shows the address where you're going to go for any WAS version. Go to this website, click on the PTFs link, and click the link for the server and release of the WAS version that you're using. So if we go to this website and we go down and we're on a V503 server and that we're using WAS Express version 5.1, it'll show that we need a we need a group PTF for WAS Express 5.1, this number that I have listed here, SF99275. So check this website to find what the latest group PTF is. This one was as of August 2004. It's the latest one as of today. So the WAS group PTF will identify what level of OS 400 or i5OS QM PTF package is needed. And then you might also be picking up a group PTF that it might also include database group PTFs, HTTP server PTFs as well. On chart 23, a couple of other notes. Again, I mentioned about it might require a certain level. It'll identify what level of OS 400 QM package you need. Make sure that you go look at this HTTP server website and see what, based on your server version, see which group PTF is needed and make sure that your WAS group PTF includes this level. And then the iSeries Access for Web, this web page that's listed here, you'll go find what the PTF requirement is also. It's not part of the WAS or HTTP server group PTFs at all. You need to be sure you've installed that separately. There's a note, too, on the bottom there. Check the cover letter special instructions in case you have to do any configuration changes. So now we're on page 24. We've chosen our web application server, installed our software, installed the PTFs. So step four is set up the web serving environment. Again, the lab starts here. The other information is in an appendix in the lab. So just a couple of notes about it, just a couple of tips. I'm not going to go through all the screens here. You can do that in the lab. But on page 25, to set up the web serving environment, you're using the command from an OS 400 command line to start TCP server, start the HTTP admin server, and then you go to the web to do this administration. And this screenshot that I have here on page 25 is a little old. I believe this is what you'll see if you're on a V5R2 server. I need to update it with a V5R3. But the words I have written at the top, IBM Web Administration for iSeries, when you're on a V5R3 server, that's the option that you'll choose. So then you go to page 26. If you take the option for IBM Web Administration for iSeries, then you'll see the screen that you see on page 26. And you can start setting up the web serving environment. The lab, you'll notice, when you get there, the lab has you click on the left menu where it says Create Application Server. That's where you'll start creating your WAS Express 5.1 server, and it automatically creates your HTTP server as well. Page 27, just a couple of information tidbits about WAS Express 5.1. That it runs in the QASE 5.1 subsystem. So you can go look in that subsystem, and the job name is the same as what you named your application server. You actually will, in the lab, we have you go look at this subsystem to make sure the job's up and running. And then we have the IFS paths there. These paths are important for doing problem determination if you have any problems with your WAS Express after you've created it. So on page 28, step 5, configure and start iSeries access for web. We go to page 29. Now, as of now, the documentation for configuring V5R3 access for web is in two parts. First, there's an installation and usage guide that's in the iSeries Information Center. We used to have a separate publication, and it's all moved to the Information Center now. So I have the URL there of the Info Center, how you navigate to get to our information. This part has hardware and software requirements and gives you some preliminary information, and it talks about using all the functions. So you go to this documentation for that type of information. But it also points to this other website, part two on this chart here, for documentation on each specific web application server. So the website, I have the URL there where it ends in doc.html. So then it has, at that website, it has a separate document depending on which web application server you're using. So on page 30, you'll see, if you go to that web address with the documentation, you'll see something like this. It gets updated. The first part with the first arrow shows the installation and usage going to the Info Center. And then you'll see that we have for each of the web application servers, Portal Express, the WAS 5.0, WAS 5.1, all of them listed there. Links to documentation that gives you step-by-step on each screen what to click, what to enter. So it's detailed instructions about setting up with each one of those servers. So I have our arrow because today we're looking at WAS Express 5.1. On page 31, now, here's where I'm talking about the lab. So I've combined the documentation in the lab. It's an abbreviated form of those two parts that I just described. So it's an abbreviated document that has in the appendix all of the software requirements and what you have to do to get it, make sure the PTFs are installed and where you need to find the latest information on that. And then all the steps on configuring iSeries access for web with WAS Express 5.1. On page 32, so you use your HTTP admin, the interface on the web through your browser. to configure a HTTP server and WebSphere application server, but you actually do your configuration of iSeries access for web on the server. And we have CL commands available that for most of the web application servers. And then on the right hand, I talk about also that there are script commands available that run in the QShell environment for some of the more recent WebSphere application servers that have become available. Some of these have become available, like WAS Express 5.1, were available after we completed our CL commands. So that's why we made the script commands available, because we can do script commands and provide those in PTFs. So that it lists the latest PTF right there. So go get the latest PTF for iSeries access for web. And we're going to run the command to configure. I'm going to show you the command in a couple of charts. We're going to run the script command to configure WAS 5.1 Express. So on page 33, just summarizing, CL commands, and they're in this library, QIWA2. So for some of the web application servers, your instructions will tell you to use the CL command. And then for some of the web application servers, like for WAS Express 5.1, you're going to be using the script commands. So we list the commands there and what those commands do. So on page 34, so let's just step through this briefly. You make sure that the QASE 5.1 subsystem is up and running. So first you've configured your WAS Express 5.1 web application server. It's up and running. The lab has you go and check the subsystem to make sure your job is up and running there. The web application server must be running. Okay, so we'll do that in the lab too. Now you enter the following commands. The lab has you do this also, all of these steps. The statement, this statement in this example configures iSeries Access for Web with an instance called IWA51EXP. So first you run this QSH from a server command line to get into QShell environment. Then you change the directory. And then here's the example of running this configure command in the QShell environment. And then afterwards, after you run this config access for web and you wait for your successful messages saying it's configured, then you need to, the application server must be restarted after the, running the config command. So then you use the web admin interface again to go restart WAS Express and restart the HTTP server, and the lab has those steps as well. So on page 35, the last steps, verifying the installation and configuration. The next step in the lab, you'll get to the point where you open a browser and try to bring up the iSeries Access for Web homepage. But just a couple of notes on the next two pages. Page 36, verify the installation. Take a look at the subsystem to verify your jobs are running an HTTP server. Look at your WebSphere application server subsystem to verify that your application server job is up and running. So I have the arrow there next to our subsystem for WAS Express 5.1. On page 37, you might need to go into the HTTP admin interface. And on the left, look at Manage Installed Applications, because you'll be able to see iSeries Access for Web listed there. So then on page 38, open the browser to HTTP, your server name, your port that's specified. I talk about how to pick an open port in the lab, /web access/IWA home. Now that IWA home, those URLs are case sensitive. I just want you to be aware of that. So always need to use mixed case where we specify it. So if you see this screen that's on page 38, then you're in. And we're going to talk more about how you can customize this, but this is what the default home page looks like. On page 39, just notes. So you can pull out these pages if you're trying to get it up and running and it's not working for you. It's just some things that you should check and make sure they're running. Page 40, check the log files. iSeries X, we have the where to find in the IFS the log files for both iSeries Access for Web and for WAS 5.1 Express listed here. So that's all about installing and configuring. And so we have a few minutes to look at some of the functions that are available. Once you get iSeries Access for Web configured and up and running, what can you do with it? And as a quick overview, depending on, we have just a few minutes left, we're going to look at how to, some of the functions available, but how can you limit those functions for your end users? Well, a lot of times in our products, we provide so many cool things, and the first thing administrators ask us is, how do I keep my end users from getting at it? So we're going to look at that. We're going to look at how you customize your home page, and then we're just going to, for whatever time is left, look at each function, a couple of screenshots, and what you can do with the functions. So on page 42, start your browser, open your browser. Now, I have an example here where it's an iSeries server that's a Dallas, or it's a demo iSeries in Dallas. And you can even, I have another chart a little later on where it talks about how you can go to this website, and I have the user ID and passwords where you can actually sign on and look at our interface. So this is an example of going to this Dallas iSeries and going to the home page. I open a browser, key in the URL. So the first thing I'm going to see is this prompt for my user ID and password. So it's secure. I mean, they're always going to get prompted to get into the iSeries. On page 43, again, here's the same chart of what the default home page looks like. Now, this might not be that interesting to you. It's, you know, it even has Rochester information on the right-hand side of the screen. But we provide this to show you that you can update this web page for your own users. For an administrator, it might be fine. They have all the functions available, and that's great. For your end users, you might really want to customize what they see when they come in. On page 44, we have a main. That was the home page prior. Now we're looking at what we call the main page. So this is kind of where we have all the functions listed. If I have authority to see everything that's available with iSeries Access for Web, I see all these tabs on the left. So these are the functional areas, some of the things that we provide with this product. We're going to take a look at several of these. On page 45, functions you can perform, you can see we have my personal folder, a place where you can keep information or keep the results of SQL requests or running commands or PDF output and that type of thing. We have all these functions available in each of these. If you're looking at the online version of these charts, you'll see highlighted in red where we have new functions marked that are V5R3 functions. So, again, a lot of function available. The next part talks about how might I customize for my users. So, page 46, we're starting on a customize section. Page 47, here is a quick overview on how to control access to these functions that we have. First of all, we're going to be checking, well, let me say the note at the bottom, if you have object-level security on your setup on your iSeries server, of course users aren't going to be able to access anything through this interface that they wouldn't be able to, that they're secured from via object-level security. But if they are authorized, then the sequence that we're checking is, first we check their user profile authorities, and then we're going to check the group profile. And then we have this profile that we provide, Star Public. It's a default policy settings that ship with iSeries Access for Web. And so you can manage all of your users with this Star Public profile that we provide. So a little bit more now on customizing on page 48. So we talk about these policies. Policies are the way that you, as an administrator, are controlling your user and group access to different functions. So what you might want to do, because the default with Star Public is that they have access to most of the things. So you might want to go into the Star Public group profile and deny functions for all users in a single step. And then go back in and allow specific users to access to certain functions that you want to provide for them. Maybe all you want them to do is get a 5250 screen. So you can go deny access to everything else and just allow access to 5250, for example. And a couple of notes on the bottom about you need security administrator authority to customize the profiles with the policies. So on page 49, here, the policies, again, for the administrator to use. How do you keep users from using the functions? You might want to set your Star public profile to not allow access to things. Give access to your users or group profiles in specific areas. And this screenshot on the right shows all the different categories where you can customize your policies, where you can set authorities to different functions. On page 50, preferences are something that end users can set for themselves. By default, users can configure their own preferences. You as an administrator might want to deny them access to set their preferences, but it's things that control how their views are displayed, which columns they want to display in their printer output, that kind of thing. So by default, they can change those things. Page 51, just talk a couple of other things that are nice options that can be customized for users. Page 52, email, something that we added in our product in V502 and later. You have the ability to email results of certain functions that run within iSeries Access for Web if you can set this up, if you configure this. So if you're running a database, SQL, for example, or you're running a CL command, or doing PDF view of printer output, you can specify to mail that to someone. So you can mail it, and it doesn't have to be an iSeries user or anything. It can just be anybody across the network. So this might be good for workflow management. Page 53. Shows how I would set up in my policies. I took the policies and I selected mail, and I'm setting up for this user profile an email address. Selected profile C minor. I'm specifying the email address of this person that's sending mail, and I must specify an SMTP server. So, and this SMTP server can be on the iSeries or can be on any server. It doesn't need to be the iSeries. So we have to go in and set a policy for each user and set their email address for them to have access to this function. Or a user could go into their own preferences and set their email address. Or another option is in V503, we provided a new import function that allows the administrator to bring in email addresses from an import list. On page 54, once the mail is set up, you've specified the SMTP mail server and the email address. Then, here's a couple of examples of where you would see this mail option. I'm doing on the left side a run SQL, and there's a destination parameter, and there's now the optional show up to do a mail as attachment. So I can run this SQL thing in the background and mail the result to someone. And on the right, I'm looking at PDF printer output. Under the action column, I will now see a mail capability to mail this PDF printer output to someone. On page 55, we've added some new function in V503. We wanted you to be aware of. You're probably familiar with the Lotus Same Time product that's an add-on to Domino. And we've done some integration where users are notified with same time pop-ups if you have this capability on your system. If you want to send a break message to someone, send a message to them and have it pop up, you can use the same time capability that we've built in. So now when you do send a break message and you want to select a number of users, we'll have the same time users that have been specified listed here for you to select from. In the next section, a couple more charts on page 56 and roll into 57. On iSeries Access for Web and you might customize the home page. On the chart on the top is our default home page that we've looked at before. And the chart on the screenshot on the bottom, the tiny one, shows a customized home page that we've done for a fictional company called Access for Water. So if you look at page 58, you know, here's where we're a business called Access for Water. We sell boats. So we've integrated all kinds of different things on this machine. You might, in the middle, you can click on this video clip and watch a picture of some boats here, or you can, on the upper part of the right part of the page, send a message to the help desk. Or on the left, we've integrated links to several different types of web applications here. So maybe you want to combine our iSeries Access for Web and a web-facing application, for example. We show you how to do this here. Or you just want to work with invoices along the left there, this option, and that just shows you a list of spool files under the covers. That's what it's doing. So you might build your own web page for your company that links in all of these types of information. If I do a click on See Boat Details, 5250, that's the top option on the left, then I would see what's on page 59. So this is our iSeries access for Web 5250 interface. And you could have users come right to this application when they log in. I mean, that's something that you can do. You can have them go straight to a specify a spot within an application in 5250. And except for the logo that's along the top, this is what the default interface looks like for our 5250 out of the box. You can choose a green screen look if you'd like, but this is what it looks like as a default. On page 60, we have, I mentioned earlier, this Dallas demo iSeries. So here's how you get at it. If you want to set your browser to the URL that's listed here at the top, this marketing machine, we have the user IDs and passwords to get in to just play around. You can look at what iSeries Access for Web looks like out of the box, or you can look at this Access for Water, this fictional application, to see what we've done to customize the interface. I want to show you in the last minute or so, I'm going to show you the 5250 emulation section that starts on page 61, because a lot of our users are interested in this. Our iSeries Access customers are using 5250 emulation. And then you can just take a look through the rest of the charts that show screenshots of examples of some of the other functions. Just wanted to point out on page 61, this 5250 function is the only function in Access for Web that requires the interactive feature. Everything else runs in batch. So on page 62, right underneath the title, where I have that URL address that ends in IWA 5250, you could go straight to your 5250 interface by setting a bookmark to this URL address right here. And this is, you know, underneath there, the sign-on screen. That's what it looks like out of the box. You are going to, if you go to this, straight to this 5250, you're going to get a prompt for the signing on user ID and password. In V5R3, you can avoid a second sign-on screen by using macros, but you can't avoid the first sign-on screen. So we provided some enhancements for bypassing one of the sign-on screens. So we talk a little bit in the text there about how you might set your bookmark to just bring up 5250. You can even have an option to take off that left menu, so you just want to bring up an emulator screen and not have all of those Access for Web options on the left, all those tabs. On page 63, we talk about some of the options that are available with the 5250, being able to assign a unique device ID. That's something our iSeries customers need, keypads, macros, that type of thing. Page 64, this is what it looks like if you're starting a new session. You know, for typical end users, maybe as an administrator would establish sessions for them and remove their ability to start their own. So they would just go to, on the left menu on the 5250 tab, they maybe would just go to configured sessions. So on page 65, being able to configure a session, and you have all those actions as a default in the action column: start, copy, delete, rename, create a shortcut. Maybe as an administrator, again, create a shortcut to a configured session and take away all the other actions for their end users and just allow them to get to the shortcut. I just wanted to mention the limitations with browser-based emulators like this one. This is entirely server-based, so it's all servlets. There's no applets that are running on the client. So there are some limitations with servlet-based emulators, like there's not the amount of flexibility in keyboard mapping that you have with native emulators, like our iSeries Access for Windows emulator, or the type of keyboard manipulation, like their field exit key is one example that our customers have mentioned doesn't work the same in a browser-based emulator as when they're on the native emulators. So for your data entry type personnel, this type of emulator might not have the keyboard manipulation that they're accustomed to. So that's something that you might want to get the product up and running and try the emulator and see how it fits depending on the type of end users that you have. So I'm going to just urge you to take a glance through the rest of the charts. I show a couple of examples in each of the other functional categories in iSeries Access for Web. I talk in the print section about which functions require the info print server and which don't. There's a wealth of information, and I just think in each category there's a lot of things you can do in managing your printers and running database SQL requests and copying PC data to iSeries database tables and managing jobs and sending messages, all kinds of information. So if you want any further details on any of those areas, take a look at the charts, send me an email. And right now, because we're getting close to running out of time, we're going to get ready for the survey and questions and answers.
Thank you. Before we take your questions, we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. To participate, please press the star key followed by the digit on your telephone that corresponds to your choice. And for our first question, on a scale of 1 through 4, how valuable did you find Linda's presentation? For very valuable, please press star 1. For valuable, press star 2. For somewhat valuable, press star 3. Or for of no value, press star 4. And we'll pause for just a moment. And that does conclude our survey. Thank you all for participating. And now we would like to take any questions that you may have. If you do have a question today, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. If you are using a speakerphone today, please release your mute button so that your signal may reach our equipment. And again, it is star 1 if you do have a question. And we'll go first to Ed Holt at Daybright Lighting.
Yes. Is there any way to move this off of the production iSeries and put it on a separate machine in a DMZ?
Yes, actually, Ed, we have a well, there is a way that, and I can, if you send me an email, I can send you some charts about how we talk about using this in the DMZ. But you can install and configure the web application server and iSeries Access for Web on one iSeries and access it from other iSeries in your network. Did you have anything to add to that, Doug?
No.
Okay. So if you want to send me an email, I can send you further information, Ed, about how to configure that.
What was the email address again?
lhirsch@us.ibm.com.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it is star 1 if you do have a question. And Ms. Hirsch, there are no further questions at this time. I will turn things back over to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, the last couple of charts in this presentation, just page 93 and 94, just, again, iSeries Access for Web, browser-based access. We have many web application server choices. You want to get away from client administration and move your applications to the web. We have a lot of access to iSeries functions in this product. And on page 94, if you need help or have a question, again, follow-ups, you can send me an email, lhirsch@us.ibm.com. Page 94 also has information about having your business partner work with our Virtual Innovation Center, and there's information about who they can call so that if they need help or have questions or need resources, there's an 800 number there provided for them to take advantage of for WebSphere needs. And that's all for today.
And that does conclude today's conference call. Thank you all for joining us, and have a great day.